Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Say what?
Now the snap. Allen pumps once. Now looks right. Fires a strike downfield. Caught by John Brown at the 15 into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown, touchdown, Bills, from 40 yards out. A great throw by Josh Allen. Snap, looks, fires over the middle, got a man open. It is caught at the 15-yard line. Dawson Knox headed into the end zone. He is in. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! He was wide open.
So, the note, speaking of John Murphy, he's going to be with us at 8:30. If the Bills win on Sunday, it's their fourth straight win over the Dolphins. That would be their longest win streak against Miami in 13 years. That's the stat I was trying to find earlier, but I couldn't find it. Welcome to Football Friday on WGR. Bills and the Dolphins on Sunday in Miami. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Josh Allen. Here, I'll use this for my... I don't think I actually officially used the stat of the day, right? So I'll use this for my stat of the day. Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins in his brief career. The Bills are 3-1. They have averaged 31 points per game in the four meetings between these two teams since Josh became the starting quarterback. Passing-wise, he averages 228 yards. He has 10 passing touchdowns in four games, three picks. Running, he has had, 318 rush yards in four games, three touchdowns, one fumble. So very good numbers in all four games. Over 300 total yards generated by Josh on the average when he plays Miami. 13 total touchdowns and three interceptions and one fumble. I'll make that my stat of the day because when Josh plays against Miami, Josh plays well. And usually the Bills end up winning the football game. And I think both will happen on Sunday. I think he's going to run. Jeremy, I think they'll use some more design runs for him. If anything, just to see if, well, he's done well against Miami with his legs, and let's see if they can figure out how to stop it after they struggled against Cam Newton last week in New England. But he should be able to exploit the passing attack, too. I like Brown and Diggs against a banged-up Howard and Jones for them. They got a rookie slot corner, so maybe Cole Beasley could have some big plays on Sunday. So a lot of things to like about this matchup. I think Josh will have a good day, and I think the Bills will win the football game. I don't know that it'll feel like it's over midway through the first quarter like last Sunday, but I don't think they'll have to sweat this one out either.
One thing that's very different from week one to week two for Miami is, from the look of it at least, like this is the thing about football. You play one team in week one, and that's everything we know about you, right, for the Bills. What do you know about the Bills? Josh Allen threw for 300 yards. They spread it out. They went four receiver sets more than any team. Yeah. They ran a lot of play action. Like, that looks like, okay, that's who the Bills are. And we kind of don't know if that's the Bills every week, if that's the Bills just against the Jets, you know? And for the Dolphins, I would say the same is true. If there's one thing, I mentioned this with Sal last hour, that would give me a little bit of pause about this game, it's Miami's defense, which did have good games last year, was a little bit of a tougher out as the game, you know, as the season went on. And with Brian Flores adding pieces, Kyle Van Noy, Shaq Lawson, like, they added pieces to that defense. He gets closer to what he's trying to build. They opened at New England.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we want to buy into the legend a little bit here of Bill Belichick, which, you know, he's had a lot of success. If there's one team you might have not wanted to have played on opening day without any preseason at all, it might be Cam Newton and Bill Belichick, right? Like, how is Bill Belichick, who has had the same quarterback for two decades, how is he going to use a different quarterback? and enter Newton. And if you see a lot of the highlights from that game, what New England did is they went heavy. Tons of tight ends, right? Tons of called runs for Newton, and they had their success against Miami. They did only score 21 points, mm-hmm. but they had their success. So the Dolphins last week faced a running quarterback and an offense that packed it in and called running plays. This week they face another running quarterback, but they face a Bills team that spreads it and goes four receivers.
Right.
So I don't really know how Miami looks against the Bills offense as compared to the Patriots offense. I don't know if the Bills offense is better than New England's offense. I hope it is, right? Like, we're all optimistic and hopeful that it can be. But it is a pretty big swing on the style of offense that the Dolphins will go from playing against, from the Patriots to the Bills.
And I still think, you know, again, to the discussion about, well, actually, let me bring up Miami first, and then I'll double back or swing back to the Bills. With their defense last year, if you look at the numbers, the average points per game is bad. But if I recall correctly, I should pull up last year's schedule. That I think it was skewed by the fact in the first month and a half, at least the first month, there were some, they were giving up truckloads of points in the beginning of the season. And they got better progressively, at least the defense did, over the course of the season. So I think somewhat the statistic of where they were in terms of scoring defense last year is affected by a really bad first month and a half of the season. I'll look up the stats. The other thing, too, I think that's interesting, and you could read this into their game against New England. You know, we sat here leading up to the Bills season talking about continuity, right? And the Bills have all these, well, more so on offense than defense, but the Bills had all those players back. And, boy, it's great if you got all the starters back and the same coaches. And, you know, without preseason games, continuity is big. You'll all be on the same page, yada, yada, yada. Miami did overhaul the defense. I mean, they brought in, you mentioned some of the names. They brought in, if you look at their depth chart, okay, of the 11 starters on their depth chart, five guys are in their first season with Miami. Now, they're veteran players. They've been in the NFL, including Shaq, Landon Roberts, Emmanuel Ogba, Kyle Van Noy, Byron Jones. Five new starters on defense via free agency. And when they play nickel, the slot corner is a rookie from the draft. So that's a lot of new faces. And maybe the first game, what did we hear about the first game? Well, their run defense was terrible. Why? A lot of miscommunication. Guys didn't know what was going on. You know, guys were messing up their roles, didn't know what the other guy was doing. The coaches were having problems with getting the players to the play, the plays to the players, blah, 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 blah. It was a big, big mess. Okay, maybe that's because you had five new faces on defense, and it just takes a little time for this group to come together. You know, with the Bills, that's why I think, to me, it's I really love that we can have a discussion about Brian Daboll has always talked about, and he's not the only one, you know, game plan specific. You know, we can have, philosophically, you can have a belief in offense, but you're going to try and figure out each week, okay, where do we exploit that team? You know, what's the best matchup edge for us? Hey, their run defense stinks. So you know what? We're going to go, we're going to multiple tight ends. We're going to really run the ball at these guys. We're going to call some zone reads. Or you might look at it and go, their secondary is pitiful. We're throwing the ball 50 times. I like the fact that the Bills can go in any direction. To four receiver sets, I don't know what they're going to do Sunday. First, is Lee Smith active? They didn't activate him last week. If they do, I would think it would mean they're going to run a little bit more on Sunday. If not, then that goes to the next question. What was the most popular personnel grouping for them last year as the season played out? 11 personnel. Now we're looking at 10 personnel, right? 20-plus snaps of four wide receivers on the field. I don't know. Maybe they show that. And again, this all goes to, if you're Brian Flores and you're Miami, you know, what are you doing to try and get a read on the Bills? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it does present problems for opposing defensive coordinators with Diggs here and Davis and the two running backs and the way the Bills can use different weapons. Hey, the screen pass, the screen game was in the playbook last week. It was good. So the way the Bills have this offense set up, I do believe on a week-by-week basis, it can be flexible to try and exploit the other team's weakness, but it also makes it more challenging for the other team to figure out, you know, what's the best? My guess is you'd still be worried more so about the passing attack, Diggs, Brown, stop those guys right now if you're facing the Bills than, boy, we've got a key on Moss and Singletary. I'm going to believe most teams will look at it and go, keep Josh in the pocket, don't let him use his legs, and deal with Brown and Diggs, and that would be the number one thing to do approaching Buffalo.
Yeah, I wonder if the passing game will be what it was last week, which was right. no big shots downfield, right? Mostly limited kind of underneath stuff.
Right. Are they going to keep safeties back? What are they going to do? I mean, I was surprised. I mean, it really didn't matter. The passing game was great. They won the game going away. But I thought, well, we're going to see some bombs, you know, for sure. Like, that was one of the talking points of the offseason. Okay, one of the things Josh needs to do better, he's got this magnificent arm. He's got to try and hit on some of those deep shots. Hey, look, here's Stephon Diggs. He's really good for that. And so is John Brown. But because of what the defense was doing, they didn't take those shots. Quite honestly, didn't have to. I don't know if we're going to see maybe we'll see that on Sunday. Maybe Miami's approach will be a little bit different. Maybe they feel they can make some more plays downfield against the Dolphins. So it's fun to watch. It really is. I think it's cool that we're seeing the evolution of the Bills offense, and you can go into a game thinking there are multiple ways you can come up with a best game plan to beat the other team because there are that many weapons that Brian Daboll has. I was thinking, you know, I was putting together some questions for Murph at 8:30, and one of them was about the passing attack and the four wide receiver sets and the depth at that position. And think back to Josh's first year. It's not like it was a long time ago. Think about the receiver position 3 years ago, or 2 years back in 2018, 2 years ago. Look how deep they are now. We're sitting here talking about Isaiah McKenzie gets 18% of the snaps on Sunday against the Jets. We're talking about four wide receiver sets. 2 years ago, you were afraid to put any of these guys on the field, let alone, hey, let's put four of them out there at the same time. So that's evolved. That's pretty cool. And I think it makes Brian Daboll more effective as a play caller to have all these weapons. And, of course, this just in, it makes Josh Allen a better quarterback to have all these weapons.
Expectations are high.
Yeah, you know? Good. Again, it's all good. I was going to say it's part of the process. But I know that word's overused. But this is part of the other day. It's funny, McDermott's Zoom call on Wednesday, Jeremy, they combined media. You talk to your own media as the head coach, and then you do a conference call with the visiting media. But there were some Dolphins media, it's Zoom calls this year. So they're getting, I guess, all done at once. So McDermott did a Buffalo portion of the media call, right? And then they said, okay, we'll now open it up to Dolphins media. And one of the guys asked him something about, you know, where are you right now in the rebuild? And I thought, well, it's not a rebuild. I mean, that's done. It's, I don't know if we call it, where are you in the build? Whatever. You're supposed to win now. You're supposed to be good enough to win the division, to win playoff games, to hopefully make a run in the playoffs. Like, no rebuild, no build. Like, this is you've got to look at this Bills team. I do. You do. You look at this Bills team differently, and maybe that's not necessarily what people are thinking around the league yet, but this is a completely different season, and you look at it with the expectations of, hey, you know what? Beat the Dolphins easily. Like, let's not make this one close. Don't give us a game where you're losing after three quarters and you need like a really great Trey White interception to turn the game around. Go down to Miami, take care of business, beat a team that you're better than, and don't sweat it out. And then we'll talk about the Rams in week three. Yeah, it's all part of the raised expectations, which is a really cool thing to have.
When's the last time the Bills had a loss that really shook what we believed in them?
Well, when did we really believe in them this much?
Well, when's the last time they had a loss that shook that? Last year, they didn't have one, right? Did they have a loss that shocked anybody? They lost to Cleveland.
No, I'm not. But, I'm going back further than that. I'm not even.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. So go back there. And then the year before that is Josh's rookie year. They're 6-10. Like, there wasn't, I don't feel like there was much in that way.
The Chargers blow out with Nathan Peterman starting?
Yeah, and then they came back and won the next week.
Then did they lose to the Bears after that? I'm trying to think. Somewhere in maybe one of those games. But, I mean, I still
got blown out when they had Derek Anderson and Nathan Peterman at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think most of that was like, get well, Josh. Where, even those years, you know, you're kind of looking and trying to see if your young quarterback is legit. I was thinking about this for Burrow last night, you know, watching the Browns and the Bengals. You know, the Browns are waiting to see if Baker can rebound to what he showed them once.
Right.
For Cincinnati fans, I'd imagine you watch if you're really a Bengals fan, you're going to watch the whole game and think, what's Joe doing? What's Joe Burrow doing? How does he look? He ends up throwing for 300 yards on 61 attempts. And there are some flashes in there. You know, he looked good in some spots.
Yeah.
But for the Bills, like, I just think we're in this spot. Last year, we talk about this a lot. Last year, they cruised to the wild card. It never even got really dangerous or close. They clinched with weeks left, basically, right? And this year, you know, if they were to lose to Miami, I just wonder if anybody would be really, really shocked off by it. You know, like if a loss that is such a stunner, because they're a favorite. They're a pretty good size favorite on the road in Miami, even though road's not what it was. That any sort of loss would be a real, like,
it'd be a kick in the a kick in the old midsection there.
Yeah, I just think that there's a lot of feeling that this is on its way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, setbacks don't have to, you know, stop you all along or stop you altogether. I just wonder about that, because we were confident in them beating the Jets, and they of course did. And it was every bit as easy as a lot of people thought it might be.
Yeah.
This time around, you know, maybe last year's a good example. Last year's Miami game, right? We think they're good. Dolphins stink. I can remember saying they're playing an XFL team.
Yeah,
this is going to be easy.
Put up 30, 40 points.
And then it was a little bit close.
Yeah, it was a little bit sweaty there under the collar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, if for some reason they don't win on Sunday, I don't know. Mentally, what I'll set back, it's not going to rock my foundation. I don't think I'm going to, you know, come in on Tuesday and have them go 8-8 and pick the Bills. So I don't know. Roadblock, setback, bump in the road. I'm not sure how I would feel about it if they lost. I mean, I can get to it. I guess I could get a scenario where Fitz has a good day. Edmonds and Milano don't. Neither guy plays. The linebacking core has their problems on Sunday. The run defense without Star. It doesn't have a good day on. I mean, I can design a scenario if you wanted to, not that you want, where Miami could win. I just don't see it actually happening. And I don't see Miami's offense scoring that much against this defense. But if they lost, it wouldn't rock the foundation. It would be unexpected in my mind. And then it's all that more important than you got to come back and beat the Rams. But it wouldn't shock my world and say, oh God, 2020 is not going where I thought it was going to go. Crap. Unless that happens and New England beats Seattle, in which case I would not be in a happy spot on Monday morning.
We have a tweet about the Eagles game last year, really knocking off what you thought.
Yeah, that would have been a nice win. That would have been a good win for them to beat a team. We thought, okay, this is a little bit of a better competition. And right, that's right. They were banged up. Yeah. And we thought, that game, that stunk. Somewhere in the third quarter, I thought, oh, this isn't going really well. I guess I'd be the best nominee out of the game last year.
Yeah.
But you'd have to go back a ways. You know, I really do think you'd have to go back a ways. And I don't know. If they lose, I'll tell you how I feel Monday morning. But I don't think that's going to happen.
If the Bills win, the Dolphins sit at 0-2. When does Fitz get the hook? Their schedule goes at Jacksonville week 3, who, you know, we'll see about Jacksonville. Well, that's a Thursday night
they
game.
They can't pull Fitz because they already ran all those promos on the game last night about Fitz versus Minshew mania magic or whatever. That promo ran incessantly in the game last night.
It's worth mentioning. It's a short week. So you're the Dolphins, all right?
Yeah.
You tell me when it's Tua time. So they lose the Bills. They go at Jacksonville on a Thursday.
Yeah,
are you going to put Tua in a short week in prime time?
I don't think so. That's tough.
Okay. Next up is Seattle.
Oh, gosh, no.
Then you're at San Francisco.
Oh, my Lord. Heaven
then
forbid.
Then you're at Denver.
That's a tough spot.
Home for back-to-back games against both L.A. teams, Chargers and Rams.
Well, that's a logical thing at home.
If they decide to do it out
honestly,
of the bye week.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly,
the Dolphins.
Jacksonville would be the first team out of that group. But on a short week, that's a difficult thing to do, I would think.
Yeah. So after those two L.A. games, the Dolphins have at Arizona and the Jets. And then have a bye week, and then it's at the Jets. So
yeah.
2 out of 3 weeks, they will play the Jets. You've got a good opportunity maybe for a young quarterback if you decide the Jets is his first start in November. Play the Jets, take a week off, take a look at the film, play the Jets again.
Yeah, there's no way you want to out there against Seattle and San Francisco's defense. And even Denver, to an extent, would be challenging defensively, right? You wouldn't want him playing against the Seahawks or the Niners, I don't think.
You could only hide him for so long. I mean, eventually he's going to have to go in and play.
Yeah.
I just wonder, if this stacks up, 0-2, they lose to the Bills. Even if they beat Jacksonville, is Miami beating Seattle, San Francisco?
Mm-mm.
Like, you're 1-4.
Yeah.
And it quickly gets to a Tua watch for them.
Yeah.
By the time the Bills play the Dolphins on January 3rd, I mean, I think it's a pretty good bet that we're going to see Tua.
I fully expect to be in.
Provided he's healthy.
Yeah, I fully expect he'll be in prior to that game. some point when they realize it's late in the season and they're not in a wild card race somewhere in December. I fully expect he will be playing. Yeah, you want to put the kid. It's so tough for me to think you'd put him out there to make his debut against Seattle or San Francisco, because they are very challenging defenses, and you'd like to put him in a position where, like you said, you can't protect him forever, but you want to put him in a good enough position where he has a chance to just have some success, an element of success in his first start. And I just think that would not happen against Seattle, and I don't think it would happen against San Francisco. Their defensive line against Miami's offensive line, I think, would be a bad idea. So I would guess it wouldn't necessarily come until Denver at the earliest at this point. The home games would be more likely against L.A., though. The Bills are playing the Dolphins Sunday, and we're talking about it with you. We got phone lines open. Let us know what you think is going to happen Sunday in Miami. 803-0550. We'll get John Murphy's thoughts on the game when we get back. We've got you covered Sunday beginning at 7, Breakfast with the Bills. That's bright and early Sunday morning. Followed at 8 by game day. Countdown to kickoff at 10. It is a 1 o'clock matchup in Miami. I will get the updated weather. They were talking about a chance of upper 80s and a chance of some afternoon thunderstorms. We'll check that. Post-game show with Shope and the Bulldog at 4 o'clock-ish. And then Nate Geary will bring you the overtime show at 6. That is your lineup Sunday. And it is 87 for the high. Still about the same. Upper 80s. Now it's an 80% chance of PM thunderstorms. So the rain went up a little bit in terms of percentage points. Murph's on the way in a moment. Football Friday brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, Shaq, he's just a strong presence. You know, you just always hear him in the locker room. He always arguing or talking trash or doing something. So you kind of miss that little, you know, he had a little edge about him too. So you kind of just miss that character aspect in the locker room. But we got a lot more. So, but he is truly missed, though. That's my dog.
Ed Oliver, right? I recognize the voice, Ed Oliver. The Bills had a fun tweet at Shaq too. The Bills social media account tweeted at him, basically, "It is quieter around here." You know, I guess Shaq was a.
Did you see what Trey White said? Well, I think this was directed about Shaq. There's more gum around the facility.
Yeah. So it's pretty clear, like hearing that from Ed Oliver and the Bills and Trey, like Shaq was popular, was pretty well liked in the locker room, and you know was a personality in there. So
yeah, I liked him too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that kind of wish him well in Miami.
Yeah, I think it was just he had gotten better as a player, but in terms of value, what he was going to get on the market and what it would have cost to keep him, I just didn't think it made any sense. They must have not either, but it just didn't make any sense to pay that kind of money for him. So he is over in Miami, And the Bills will play the Dolphins on Sunday. And we'll have the game for you here on WGR. Real quick, Browns beat the Bengals last night. The Bills injury report is at WGR550.com.
There's an injury from that Browns-Bengals game, too. CJ Uzomah is out for the year.
Oh, they lost a tight end, huh?
Yeah, he caught a touchdown, and he's out for the year.
Oof, I did not see that one.
Michael Thomas did not practice yesterday. Hopes to play Monday. That's the latest from Ian Rappaport.
Headlines brought to you by Best Self Behavioral Health. Best Self Behavioral Health is here for all your mental health and substance use issues. Visit bestselfwny.org. Murph standing by on our West Her Hotline. Of course, we'll have the game on Sunday on WGR with Steve and Sal in the stadium. Not Miami, the one in Orchard Park. That's part of the whole pandemic stuff. So, Murph, good morning. Nice to have you on the show. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning, Howard. Good to be with you.
No frequent flyer mileage for you this year, Murph.
Yeah, I know it's going to be different. I'm not complaining, but I won't miss the travel, the flights, the hotels.
Yeah.
I will miss the atmosphere of different stadiums, though, and the noise level and the different scenes. And you know, we were going to some interesting places, a chance to look at the new stadium in Las Vegas, and going back to Tennessee, and a trip out west to Arizona and San Francisco. I'll miss those stadiums. I won't miss the travel per se, but I wish we were going on the road trip. That's for sure.
Murph, what's Miami been like in recent years? Because we had Sal on this morning, and we asked him about, you know, they're going to have some fans in the stadium Sunday. I think they're allowed up to 13,000. And we've had people tweet us and call us this week that they've been buying tickets on the secondary market. So I was thinking we're going to see some Bills fans. And Sal was talking about how in the time he's traveled, he's never seen a full stadium in Miami, and there's usually 20 to 25% Bills fans. So what is Miami like in recent years as a road stadium?
I mean, if they're going to have 13,000, that'll be maybe the biggest crowd they've had, at least for a fourth quarter in the last few years down there. It's really not an atmosphere conducive to pro football. It's a totally different vibe that you get, for instance, in Buffalo for a home crowd. And yes, there are always a lot of Buffalo folks there. I don't know how many people are able to get those tickets off the secondary market. You know, who knows? Are the loyal Miami fans not willing to give up their tickets to Bills fans? I don't know. I'm sure there'll be some there, but it's not a great home field for the Dolphins. You know, they've fooled around with the stadium and put a roof over the seating sections and have tons of, you know, high priced corporate type club seating all over the place at all levels, but they just can't seem to get a good home field situation going there. I think it was last year. So, by the way, in all this reconfiguration, they totally screwed up the radio booth. We're now
in the corner.
Yeah,
right.
We're going to have a better – I mean, I was thinking the other day. So we're watching from a booth in Buffalo in Orchard Park on TV. We'll have a better view of the game than we would if we were in Miami. It's so terrible. But so last year I'm walking to get to the broadcast booth. You got to walk through, you know, section after section of fans, and I tried to get a shortcut last year and went through like an end zone lounge, and you know it wasn't the game was over, but there were people partying in there. I thought I'd walked into a South Beach club or something. It was nuts, and it's like, can you people be any more divorced from what just went on inside that stadium? I don't think so. It was an eye opener for me. You know, it's just crazy. I really don't like that stadium. I don't like the atmosphere around the Dolphins. There's not a whole lot to like about the Dolphins, to be honest.
Except Fitz.
And Chan Gailey. And Shaq Lawson.
And Chan, yeah.
I like those two. No, I know. I'm talking more about the game experience in Miami.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like a preview of what the NFL might become, and I hope it doesn't. You know, but more and more I see that's what's happening to stadiums around the country.
Yeah. I'm curious what the LA experience would be like, you know, at their new stadium. Yeah. What, you know, the Bills attack offensively, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, John, and, you know, the other day against New York, it was a very pass-oriented attack, four wide receivers out there, 20-plus snaps, Josh throwing the ball 46 times. Is that going to be the norm going forward, do you think, the new-look Bills offense, or what, come Sunday?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been thinking a lot about that this week. I mean, let's face it, going back to the end of last season, the Bills publicly stated they I think if you didn't have to read too many tea leaves, they wanted to be more versatile offensively. They wanted to have more at their command. Last week against that really bad secondary of the Jets, they went heavy on the pass. I think they'll go heavy on the run this week, as a matter of fact. I mean, you know, the Dolphins gave up 217 yards on the ground to the Patriots. Nobody gave up more on the ground than the Dolphins did last week. I think The Bills know they need some work in their run game, right? They got a lot of production out of Josh Allen, but they need the running backs, and in particular, they need the offensive line to play better, and I think this would be the game to do that. So, and the Bills, I think, push to be versatile offensively and to develop different parts of their offense, I think this would be a game that they're going to want to run the ball a lot more than they did, and hopefully more successfully than they did last Sunday.
And if they do that, I mean, I know earlier in the week there was a discussion about Josh Allen and how much they use him in the running game. He has had great success running the ball against the Miami Dolphins, and I think if you couple in the struggles they had against Cam Newton last week, I'm sure they're going to try and correct things this week, Murph, but I would think if they're running the ball, you're going to see Josh get some more carries this week because he does well against this team historically.
Yeah, you're right. And two things there. First of all, Josh has had success throwing the ball against Miami,
yeah,
too.
Right,
I mean, this
right.
is his favorite opponent, I would think, in terms of the production he's had so far. But secondly, I look, they're not going to abandon Josh Allen as a weapon in their run game. Maybe not use him a dozen times like they did last week. But I don't think he's going away, right? He's young, he's healthy, he's durable. They don't want to put that to the test. But I think if they need him to, they will run the game. It's a threat, you know. It's a threat to an opposing defense when that quarterback can run and gets blocking from everybody else. And they design runs for him. It's an important part of their offense. I don't think that's going away in a hurry.
Murph, if you look at the overall, from an overall matchup standpoint, there are a lot of edges I think you'd find for the Bills. If there is a concern, and you can even bring in, I'll couple in another question about linebacker injuries. If there is a concern in this particular matchup in any particular area from Buffalo's standpoint, what do you think it would be?
Matchup concern?
Like if Miami's going to win this game, is there something that you look at and go, well, you know, I'd be worried about, I mean, their best receiver's a little banged up, but you'd be worried about Parker.
Sure.
You know,
games against Buffalo.
Yeah, I guess I'm
and
wondering.
The other guy, Williams, good too. I guess
Williams,
that's it.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot here that concerns me. Like you'd lay awake at night, you know, not sleeping. But again, I don't do this for a living as far as coaching him to win. So I usually don't miss sleep over the Bills. Disadvantage matchups anyway, but I think the Dolphins are not as good as Buffalo. I think the Jets were a step below Miami, but this is a team that the Bills should beat, quite frankly. They've got better personnel on both sides of the ball. Most matchups favor Buffalo. Fitz, I think, is a threat because he can get hot and make plays that you're not accustomed to seeing him do, but I don't think there's a matchup that really is disadvantaged to the Bills in this game.
Yeah, and it's funny because you look at it, you mentioned, you know, the Bills showed last week they could win with the passing game. If they went with the run this week, I mean, Miami had an atrocious week last week with that. And I think you flip it around, Murph, you look at the Bills' defense matchup against Fitz and company, and it's just hard to see a scenario where that offense has a big day against the Bills' defense on Sunday.
I agree. And you're right. Parker's a threat. You know, he's a little hobbled by a hamstring. I think the other guy, Preston Williams, is definitely a threat. They're both long, tall receivers, but is really not a matchup that scares you. Yeah. You know, I think it was in our conversation last week, Howard, I believe it was you and I talking. Maybe, yeah, at one point last week you asked me about the Buffalo roster and where the weak part is. Do you remember what I said? Linebacker depth.
Yeah, right.
Linebacker depth is being tested right out of the gate here, right? And that's something to keep an eye on, right? I think the Bills would love to have Tremaine Edmonds in the lineup on Sunday, and it looks like he might be able to make it. I don't know. I think Milano is less certain, and they got to be a little bit concerned, you know, and the way they had to finish the game last Sunday. I think linebacker depth is maybe the most concerning part of the Buffalo either side of the ball going into week two.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the nice thing is, Murph, we were talking about that a little bit this week, earlier this week, that, you know, in terms of, again, the matchup, if you look at who they're facing, you know, if Milano doesn't play or if both don't play, it's a big loss for the Bills, no question. But in this particular game against Miami's offense, you'd think that, knock on wood, you'd still have enough of an ability. Whoever the next man up is, the next man up is. But you would think it would not be a fatal blow in the Bills' defense against Miami's offense, even not having those two guys.
Yeah, I agree. It's not fatal. Yeah, and they're up against a, you know, second straight week, an offensive line that's still coming together, right?
Yep.
Four new starters
for
Miami, a couple of rookie draft picks in the offensive line. So, yeah, I would agree. I mean, when the thought occurred to me last night or today how this Buffalo schedule, and again, I'm presuming a success in Miami, but it was a pretty good start to open up with two division games against two somewhat overmatched opponents, you know, okay, I'll say it. They're probably going to go 2-0 here, and yeah, I think right, it's a great way to start the game. You know, coming home to play the Rams in Week 3.
Yeah, I think they're
a great way to start the season.
Yeah, I think we both think they're going to win Sunday. It'll be 2-0, 2-0 division, 2-0 conference. All that stuff would be good. So listen, before we let you go, we mentioned you're not traveling. You're going to be in the stadium and you're working off monitors. I don't recall you either as a play-by-play guy or working with Van, if you ever had the whole blizzard, couldn't make it to the game stadium story for a road game. So what will the setup be like? What is it going to be like working the games off monitors? Because we were saying, you know, watching some of the baseball games, we had Dan Schulman on, Murph, a few weeks ago, and he does the Jays games for Sportsnet. And those guys admit it's been hard for them. They can't see everything, and it can affect their calls. It can delay their calls. Doc Emrick on hockey games, he's like a second behind goal calls and stuff because he's sitting in his home in Michigan, I believe, watching the game on a monitor. What's the setup going to be like Sunday for you guys?
Well, first thing I'm going to do is Saturday is whip up some conch chowder and a couple of those drinks with little umbrellas in them, so we'll feel like we're in Miami. No, I'm not really. But
get a little spread going there in the booth. All right, yeah, I like that. I mean,
let's pretend like we're in Miami.
Have the windows open, you know?
Yeah, windows will be open, I hope. We've got two 55-inch video monitors ready to go. We've got an arrangement, I guess, through Entercom and the Bills to provide us with a different view than just the CBS network feed. What mm-hmm. that is, I don't know. I'm hoping that it's a wider angle so I can see. I mean, the important things for me is, I don't know what I'm going to look at, so I'm just kind of guessing here. But the important things for me, I would think, would be substitutions, so I don't have to wait and be surprised that so-and-so's in the game.
Right.
And number two would be formations. And many times, if you think about a network broadcast, they don't take the shot from the line of scrimmage until the very last instant before the ball is snapped. It'd be better for me if I could see that, you know, way before that, to see who's in the game, how they lined up, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, man, other than that, I don't know. I mean, we're working out details on referee mic. You know, there is a bit of a delay, and what will that sound like? Audio is an issue. I'm going in with my eyes wide open, ready for anything on Sunday. I don't know what to expect.
Tough for Steve, too. Like, as you know, for one thing, pass routes and things that might be breaking down or something happening in the secondary, you're limited to whatever width you're seeing on the television screen. You can't see the whole field. You can't see what's going on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, all the way, but even when I was doing color, but Kelso certainly and Eric Wood and Steve, they all have something they look at.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit different than my vantage point and my focus of attention during the game. Well, now they don't have control over that. They're at the mercy of whatever image they're being shown by either the network broadcast or maybe the special feed we're going to get. I don't know. I don't know what they'll get to see.
Well, good luck. Good luck Sunday, and we'll talk about the game with you on Bills Football Monday.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Murph. Have a good weekend. John Murphy's appearance on WGR brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of Bills fans, by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. You can call us with your thoughts on the game Sunday, 803-0550. Still going to hear from Bills coach Sean McDermott coming up around 9:30 this morning. Scaff coming up in the next hour as well as we get you ready for week two around the NFL, which of course began last night. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Obviously. Honestly, I played with some great teams younger in my career with Mersey there, and we had some great pieces when we were pushing for playoffs and we were very successful. And obviously, there's like any career and like life, there's going to be low moments. You know, if anything, you really learn through those moments, through the tank, things like that, different emotions, and you try to find out solutions. You don't dwell on those aspects, but you try to find solutions. You want to be a better version of yourself. You want to make the people around you better.
That's Mike Weber. Yesterday, Howard, you asked if Kevin Adams was the first GM to ever trade for a former teammate.
Yeah, in his very first trade as a GM.
His very first trade. Mike Weber will likely coach the player that was drafted by the draft pick acquired that the Sabres traded Mike Weber to Washington
for. No kidding.
For. That's Oskari Laaksonen.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Really?
They got a third. They draft Laaksonen and, yeah. Hey, I was traded for you, Coach.
Hey, kid, you better be good. I was traded for you. Yeah, that's interesting.
So I've got a funny NFL story for you here, the smoking story of the week.
Oh, you know what? I completely forgot about that. Thank you for remembering. Smoking story of the week, the Football Friday smoking story of the week, is brought to you by Heron's Landing. Why would you want to pay more? Very good, sir. Thank you. You bailed me out.
Okay. So the old Raider Stadium used to be called the Black Hole, right?
Indeed.
Do you know what the Raiders want to call Allegiant Stadium?
I've got some names, but I can't say some of them on the air. I don't. I'm trying to think of something that...
First off, if you look at it from above,
yeah,
it looks like a black hole. It's a circle. Oh, yeah. It's black. And then the roof is kind of maybe retractable. Whatever.
Yeah.
The owner has decided what they're going to call it. And John Gruden's in and everybody's in. Mark Davis declared to the team practicing there for the first time, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, that the stadium will be called, he said, quote, "Welcome to the Death Star."
Ooh, ooh.
"Where our opponents' dreams come to die."
Love it. Very well done. Love it. I need music with that. Dun, 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 dun. Can they play that when the Raiders come out on the field?
You don't see a problem here, huh?
Death Star?
Uh-huh.
You mean like copyright problems? Trademark problems or moral problems?
Well, one of the stories in this is that it appears that nobody in the Raiders organization has seen the movies. The Death Star doesn't really do too well.
No, it kind of gets exploded, but still.
It gets exploded like 3-4 different times nine movies.
Well,
every other movie that are exploding the Death Star.
Well, you know, they didn't hold on to the plans one time. They couldn't stop the fighters from shooting the little beams down into the middle of the core. I mean, they weren't really good protecting their own turf, to be honest with you. I love the Death Star. Come on, with the music and the Death Star. That's awesome. Like this big thing of power.
Gruden,
I like it.
When asked about Star Wars, said, "I think it's a cool name for our stadium. I don't give a damn about Star Wars. That's what we're calling our stadium, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. It's a cool stadium. It's a great name, and we just have to play good when we're in there."
They have to do a better job protecting their own turf than the Empire. Right? You just got to make sure that, it doesn't get blown up at the end of the episode.
There's another quote from Gruden. He says, "This is a one-of-a-kind joint. We just have to keep pounding this virus into the turf and open these doors so people can enjoy it like we did today."
That is so
spectacular.
Gruden. That's so great. Right? It really
pound
is so
the virus
pound
into
the
turf.
Virus. That is so John Gruden.
So there you go. They want to call it the Death Star.
I like it. I mean, that's cool, right? I think I know what happened to the Death Star, so I get it. But I just think it's a really good name, and I want to hear the music when they come out on the field. It's one of the best musical scores. That theme, the Empire theme, is fantastic. Who's the what's the guy? Famous composer.
Or John Williams.
Or band leader. John Williams. Love that music. It's great. That, the Jaws music, when you know the shark is coming. Like, there's a small number of music beds that are just make your spine go like kind of. Anyway, I digress. It is Football Friday. Brought to you by M&T Bank. It's M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the biggest Bills fan? Tweet us your video at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fan to be M&T's Bills fan of the week. M&T Bank is the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. Scaff is next. Sean McDermott in the next hour as we get to the Bills head coach. Get his thoughts on the Bills-Dolphins matchup. It's all coming up on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.